So everyone take a deep breath. It's first weekend of January. If you haven't been here since Christmas, Merry Christmas. If we missed you over New Year's, Happy New Year. It's good to be together again. First Sunday in December. No, in January, because we're in January. First Sunday of 2019. So I suppose if you're a stats person, then like, and being in church and having a percentage of that is really important to you, then you're already 100%, so good job. But you know, we're not here really about attendance in church, we're just here about Jesus. We know that being together is encouraging and being together is good, but really it's not about clocking up percentages, but it's really about just opening our life up to Jesus and saying, hey Jesus, won't you do something in me again today? And being an encouragement to somebody else, so we kind of think that's worth celebrating. That's worth sharing. That's worth talking about what he's doing in our lives. So like Ames said, we deliberately want to just kind of take a deep breath over January as a church. We know it's holiday time, which means there may be people here on holidays. If that's you, welcome. We hope this morning's refreshing to you as well. We hope you have a great time resting, refreshing. But really, we're taking a bunch of time during January just to reset. That's why we're calling it Reset. 4 weeks on reset, and we think it's a good thing to do. We think it's a good thing to do to take a deep breath. My dad, like growing up, he'd always walk into the kitchen, have a glass of water, look out the window, and like take 3 deep breaths. And he would do it every day. And I'd see him morning and night taking 3 deep breaths. And he's like, Dan, have you taken your deep breaths today? I'm like, no, Dad, I haven't. He's like, well, stand up. And he'd make you stand up and take 3 deep breaths because he's just teaching me it's good to breathe. Who enjoys breathing? Yeah, it's good to take a deep breath. So really, we're doing this through January because, you know, our heads and our lives and our hearts and our weeks can get full of so much. And sometimes we just need to take stock and take a deep breath. So during January, we're going to do that. In February, Feb 10 is going to be our Vision Sunday. We're actually really excited about 2019 as a church. So I want to encourage you on Vision Sunday, we're going to be sharing some new things that are quite exciting for us together as a people. So Feb 10, make sure you're a part of that. But really, this idea of resetting just comes from this verse. Jesus, you know, said a whole heap of really good things. And there's something in Matthew 16 we kind of want to zone in on at the beginning of this message. And for lots of people here, a new year means like new goals or new targets or new things you want to achieve. And I think that's great. We should live a life aimed at something. We should live a life looking at what resource God has put in our lives and where we want to take that. You know, last year, if you are friends with Tony and Arvin on Instagram or Facebook, you would have seen the progression of their yacht and how they actually worked really hard during the year to get that in the water, and you got it in the water, and then they got a whole heap of new friends because they've got a boat in the water. But anyway, I love that idea of we should be like setting goals and targets, and that's really good. But I think before we do that, we should take a deep breath. And here, Jesus says in chapter 16, verse 24, there you go, it's on the screen for you. I think I wrote verse 26, but anyway, it says this: what kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? So in other words, he's saying we could aim to achieve so much, but is it really worth it if we spend everything to get what we really want but we lose ourselves? What could you ever trade your soul for? And I'm not discrediting goals. I think we should have goals. I think we should live for something. I'm a goal setter myself. Me and Ames are talking this week about what is it that we want to set out to achieve. But really, we don't want to do it at the extent of anything. And Jesus says, what benefit is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? I think, hey, let's gain the whole world. I think we should. Let's set out to gain the whole world but not lose our soul. We can set out to gain the whole world because of where our soul is in Christ. So I'm not thinking Jesus is saying you can either have the whole world or your soul. I'm saying, hey, let's go for the whole world because our soul is based in Christ. Because our soul is in the right place. We've got the right frame. We've got the right base. We've got the right mindset. We've got the right focus. And we can do it and gain the whole world. I think there's a whole world out there for you to gain this year. But let's take a deep breath today. I read this quote and it kind of made me think. It said, life is lived from where you are on the inside. So life is lived outwardly from where we are on the inside, which made me ask myself a question that I want to share with you. How are you on the inside? So if life is lived from where we are on the inside, how are you on the inside? Because the external is what we like to show everybody. We don't always show everybody what's happening on the inside. But I think, hey, during January, why don't we just take a deep breath, take off the masks, and just ask ourselves the question, how are we on the inside? So we're going to do that through this series of Reset. And the idea is this. We're going to look at headsets, we're going to look at heart rates, and we're going to look at handholds. So headsets, heart rates, and handholds. And we may end up, depending on how we go with it, we'd like to end up in our fourth week in looking at, you know, has anyone seen Home Alone? You know, the first one where he's like, he's playing the video for that pizza guy at the door and he's like, keep the change, you filthy animal. You know that bit? We're going to call week four, keep the change. Because a lot of the time we set out to change, but we lose the change. But what if we were to take a deep breath, get a good set of where we are, and actually keep the change in place that we're wanting to make in our life? And I think we could gain the whole world because of where our soul is based in Christ. So today we're going to look at headsets. And really, I think Johnny English, if you're a fan of Johnny English movies, he kind of shows a really good example of it. So we're just going to watch a little bit of that this morning as we start looking at headsets. So yeah, enjoy.
Virtual reality.
That's right, sir. He's built a computer model of the inside of Volta's mansion.
When you put on this headset, it will look and feel as if you are inside the house. You'll be able to open and close doors, walk up and down staircases, completely familiarise yourself with its layout.
This floor moves in any direction, so you can walk... You can walk as far as you want in the virtual world without ever actually leaving this room. One thing though, sir. The experience can be very disorientating. It's completely immersive and some people lose all track of their actual surroundings.
I think we can pretty much guarantee that's not going to happen.
I'll just need you to sign the health and safety releases. Would you excuse me while I find an iPad?
I'll go with him, Bob. If we don't chivvy him along, we'll be here all day.
So it goes on. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it gets really, really funny. But pretty much you can see what he was seeing wasn't lining up with where he was, right? With our headset, sometimes what we're seeing and what we're observing actually isn't lining up with where we're at. So our headset is really important. What's happening in our head is really important. God's word talks to us about thinking. His word talks to us about meditating and taking time. And really, Johnny English is a simple way of saying this. Sometimes we can, the things that we're, like he's seeing something and his brain is receiving information that actually isn't lined up with what's happening in the world around him. And I think, what if we were to gain the whole world based on where we are, which is our soul is in a good place, our head is in a good place, and we're based where? We're based in Christ. And so with headsets, my question is this, really thinking about it this way, a lot of the time we focus on our position, right? So Johnny English, he's wanting to go this place. So a lot of the time we're focused on our position, but I actually think God is more interested in our condition. So we're really interested in our position of where we want to get to, what we want to achieve, but I think God's really interested in our condition, the condition of our heart, the condition of our head, the condition of our relationships, the condition of our soul. So with this idea of if we focus on our position, but God's more interested with our condition, my question is to us all today, how's your head? How is your thinking? Because maybe like me, you've experienced times where your mind is just so full and it's like so foggy and so thick and it's like you can't even get space to think. Have you ever been there? Or maybe I'm quite frequently in this camp as well where like Ames will be, what are you thinking about? And I'll say, I'm actually not thinking about anything. It's like I've kind of just been on autopilot for the whole day and there's been no brain activity, no monitoring happening at all. And I think we are created to think and we are created to have thoughts and we're created to be able to handle thoughts and all this sort of stuff. So my question to you today is, how is your head? How's your thinking go? Because your thinking could be focused and really clear, or maybe it's at a state of chaos and it feels like you just can't get space. We're all living really different lives. We're all in different positions. Some of us have young families. Some of us are empty nesters. Some of us are on holiday breaks. Some of us have been working through. All of our heads are in different places. But at the beginning of this year in January, we're just looking at what if we were to gain the whole world? How is our thinking? How is your head? How is it going? Because our brain, actually, we have I know this is a big statement and it's a blanket statement and it may not fit everybody, but apparently we have 70,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot. 70,000 thoughts a day go through your mind. Your brain uses about 100 watts of electricity and generates up to 23 watts of electricity as well. So in other words, it's using electricity and creating it. Your brain uses 20% of the oxygen your body makes and 20% of the blood that your body makes. So in other words, there's a lot happening up here and I think God is really interested with what's happening up here. And some of you may be thinking, that sounds like a lot. And that sounds like a lot is going on in my head. I don't really feel like that much is going on. But I just want to say, what if we were to take stock and think, what should we be focusing on? Because what rules our minds is another question. What is ruling or taking up the space in our head? Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in the Lord. So in other words, our mind could be steadfast or our mind could be all over the place. If our mind is all over the place, we're not going to feel like we have peace. But in Isaiah, it says, you will find peace if your mind is steadfast in Him. Steadfast in Him. So if our mind is based right. You may be a movie buff. There's a guy, his name is, I can never say his last name properly because I'm not Spanish, but I think it's Danny Trejo. Anyway, this is him. You may have seen him in a few movies. Have you seen this guy in a movie? If you don't recognize him, maybe this photo or the next one. If you're not familiar with him, maybe try the next one. Or if you're not familiar with him, the last one's my favorite one. This guy, you know this guy? So why am I showing you this guy? Really, by the age of 12, he was addicted to cocaine. He was in jail, served in San Quentin up to the age of 25. He was in jail for drugs and all sorts of stuff. He got out at 25. We know him as a famous movie guy who normally plays like really scary roles or pretending to be really scary, but he's been in over 70 films. He's not just a movie star. He owns bars, restaurants, my favorite, donut shops, to the point of where now all the stuff that he owns is accumulated to be worth around $100 million. From a guy who at the age of 12 was addicted to cocaine and was in jail, he changed his life around. How? I think it's got something to do with the way we think. Because he could have thought, I'm just this, but something must have clicked in his life where he's like unhappy with where he was at and started to change where he was, where he was going. And for you today, maybe your mindset has been fixed on something. And we know that our mindset should be steadfast because it shouldn't be all over the shop because Isaiah gives us something really helpful. But I think Romans gives us something even more helpful than Danny's story. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. I think this is the Message version. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. What is that saying? It's saying that the way we think needs to change. A total reformation, not like a little bit of a change, but allow the Holy Spirit to bring a total reformation to your mind. It says this will empower you to discern God's good will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Because sometimes the way we're thinking is based on what we see. But here, this is telling us that if we'll allow His Holy Spirit, He can bring a change in the way we see, the way we value, the way we think even. And what do we learn from all this? Well, what does this all boil down to? What is it saying? It's really saying this. What is our mind set on? What are we set on? Is it a destructive path or is it a path of life? So my first point was really, how's your head? My second point is this: train sets, jelly sets, and mindsets. Train sets, jelly sets, and mindsets. In other words, some of you would be familiar with a train set. Some of you know that if you put jelly in the fridge, what happens to it? It sets. And some of us have heard this idea of mindsets. Actually, mindsets is a huge thing that's coming into education at the minute about mindsets and how we value things and how we overcome things. But I'm not really talking about those things today. I'm really looking at the word set, not as something that happens or takes place, but actually a base that we are in. In other words, not what we're... Because think about this. Caleb and Chelsea at the minute, what would their life be preoccupied with? This baby. So we're not talking about having a preoccupied mindset. Or maybe for you, you might have just changed jobs, so you could be preoccupied with learning how your new job is. Or maybe for you, you're on holiday, so you could be preoccupied with just enjoying life. I'm not talking about what we're preoccupied with or what our focus is. I'm really talking about where we are set, where we are from. So in other words, think about it this way. We could have a positive mindset. So in other words, we're viewing things from a positive lens. Or we could have a, work with me, negative mindset. Have you ever met someone with a positive mindset? Yeah. Super enjoyable to be around, aren't they? Have you ever met someone with a negative mindset? It feels like you can't do enough to get away from them because you know what I mean? But often we're going to fall into one of them. We're either coming from a set that is positive or a set that is negative. Or think about it this way. Expecting the best. So in other words, whatever situation we're in, whether it's like waiting for a baby, expecting the best, or maybe you've changed to a new job, expecting the best, or changed to a new job, you could be expecting the worst. How we approach things is based on where we are set from. Like that first thing I said, we live from where we are inside. So how are we inside? How is your thinking? Are you from positive or from negative? Are you expecting the best in situations or expecting the worst? Are we hopeful or are we doubtful? Are we living a life of adventure or are we living a life of no, keep everything safe? Because I think that could be a mindset too. I want to live a life of adventure. I read something from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who's a Christian psychologist, and she said this: remember to smile often. And it got me thinking about what happens with my face, because you know how a lot of the time how you're feeling needs to be translated to your face as well to let everybody else know how you're feeling. And sometimes I could feel like I'm in a positive mindset, but actually I'm just displaying something to everybody else that isn't as positive as I'm feeling. But it made me think. It said, remember to smile often and see the humor in life. Research shows that laughter can boost your immune system. Research shows that laughter can ease pain. Research shows that laughter can relax and reduce stress levels. So in other words, God's created us to be able to bring healing to our own body. Our soul can actually be involved in healing our own body, but just a little word of warning. There's a guy called Chrysippus, whose face is going to come up on the screen. He's got beautiful eyes. His mother always said, you got the most beautiful eyes in the world. But anyway, he was this ancient philosopher who died from laughing at his own joke. So just be careful. He died. You can Google it. Chrysippus, I forget how it's spelled, but it's like, yeah, Chrysippus. Anyway, he died from laughing at one of his own jokes. Apparently he was making a joke about some other person and found it so funny that he killed himself. So laughter can heal you, but just be careful with it because, you know, it's pretty dangerous stuff. But what have we learned from this? I think where we're based from, we actually are living from what's happening inside. What's happening inside? I caught myself the other day, actually a couple of weeks ago, because I was with a friend, and I noticed that whenever I'm with this friend, who's actually a really positive person and actually a really hopeful, joyful, really up person, I noticed that I always end that conversation on a low. And I was talking with Ames about it, and I'm like, I don't know why I do it. And it wasn't until I started thinking about how I am actually on the inside. And I realized I was probably downplaying a lot of things that God was doing that was really good. And I don't know why. Maybe it was like this sense of false humility or whatever it was, but I was unhappy with it. And I thought, I only do it with this person. And I like this person's a really good friend of mine. I really enjoy their company. They're encouraging. But I realized I was downplaying the good things that God was doing in my life. And I was actually downplaying the good things that He is. I'm not saying about being happy for happy's sake. I'm not saying being positive because positivity rules the universe. No, I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying this. Jesus is good. And if my life is based in Him, then I've actually got good things to be a part of, good things to see. My life won't always be good, but you know what? Jesus will be. And my life won't always be positive, but I know that in Christ, if I'm based in Him, I've got a good outlook. I've got a good future. I've got a hope. I've got an assurance. I've got something worth sharing. In Philippians chapter 4 gives us something really helpful. It says this, finally, brothers and sisters, which is really everybody, we fit into that category. In other words, finally, everybody, wherever you're at, whatever basis you're coming from, wherever you're set, He gives us something really helpful. He says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right. So if you find yourself slipping into a negative space a lot, or if you find yourself doubtful a lot, or if you find yourself in a negative space, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about that. Think about those things. Isn't it helpful that somebody thought, hey, you might get stuck in your head. Here's something that's good for you to do. Maybe that's something you need to encourage your soul with later today. Maybe you find yourself coming from a negative base a lot. Let's just think about things that are pure. And you know what? In every situation, you could either find a positive or a negative. And I'm not saying let's just be positive for positive sake. I'm really saying this. If Jesus is good, then we can live a life based from who He is, not based from what we see. Living a life based from what we see in Him. So what is it saying that all of us at some point will need to reset our head? The third point I've got to make is this. Remember when. So the first one was, I forget. Let me look. First point was this. How I was asking, how's your head? Second one is train sets, jelly sets, and mindsets. Where we're based from. But the third one is this, remember when. Have you ever walked through a door and forgotten what you were doing? Like you got up, walked out of the room, and you're like, and then what do you have to do to remember? You have to go back in past that door again. Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird that a lot of the time something that's in your mind is gone straight away? Something that you're thinking about doing or something that you're focused on, a place, maybe a position where we're focused or a task that we're focused on, something that we're wanting to get done, will leave our minds. And I think it just reminds me again, we could be focused on a position, but God's really focused on the condition of our mind. But anyway, remember when is my final point. Come with me to the book of Joshua chapter 4. Because I think remembering is a really good thing. We actually do that every Sunday. We come together, we have communion. We're going to remember when today around communion. But in Joshua chapter 4, quick story short, a million people have just moved home. A whole heap of people have just moved home all at once. And they get to this place when they need to cross a river. And if you read it in Joshua chapter 3, it's really quite amazing. Joshua is the guy in charge and God says to him, hey, Joshua, there's this river, like standing at the edge of this river, which is flooding. Like it's the time of year that this river is at its highest, it's at its widest, and there's a million people who need to get to the other side. And God says to Joshua, if you get your priests to pick up the Ark of the Covenant, which is representing God's presence, and if you will walk my presence into that river, you will step on solid ground. So I think it's kind of cool that Joshua's like, hey, you guys pick that up and walk in the river. So they get it up, they start walking in, and the water stops. You read it, it's an incredible account. The water stops so far up the river to the point of where they were standing on dry ground. And then it said that all of the people crossed while those priests stood in the middle of the river. How many know you're going to be standing a long time for a million people to walk past? Carrying this huge box on their shoulders, just standing there. A million people go through to the other side. And Joshua is like, okay, sweet, let's go to the other side. But here is where we pick it up. Chapter 4, it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men from each tribe and tell them, take 12 stones from the place where the priests are standing. Where are they standing? In the middle of the river. So take 12 stones from the middle of the river, not from the edge, not from where you started, but take 12 stones from the middle of the river and carry them out and pile them up at a place where you will camp tonight. Joshua called the 12 men that he had chosen, one from each tribe, and he said, go to the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each one of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the tribes. And we will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So what is this really saying? It's really saying this. It's another opportunity to remember what happened, to remember God's faithfulness, to remember who brought us across, to remember who we're following, to remember who's guiding our life, to remember who's speaking to us, to remember why, because we're going to walk out a door and probably forget. It's saying remember. But I love how it says, pick it up and put it on your shoulder, which means there's actually something we've got to do sometimes to help us remember. For you, it might be writing scripture and putting it up in your house. For you, it might be, I don't know, feel like paint it on the wall if you want. But let there be something to remind you of where you're starting your year. Because later on, it's going to be like you've walked out. We could start in the right place, but later on in the year, we could forget that. But why does God tell us to remember? Because we forget. And I think it's really, really good to remember what it is he has said to you. Some of you love journaling. It's probably good to go back over last year's journal and look at what God said to you. Some of you hate journaling. It's probably really, really helpful for you to find a way of recording what God's saying to you. It could be on your phone, could be anyway, but I think it's important. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take communion. So maybe if the band can come back up, they're going to lead us in a song. And maybe if the guys can start handing out the emblems, which is the cup and the juice, we're going to take some time to remember. I find this story, this account of what happened in the Jordan River really interesting, because it wasn't something just for them to remember. It was something for the generations to remember. Remember of God's goodness to us. In every situation, God's goodness to us. These guys are going to lead us in a song. Is it cross as a final word? Yeah, perfectly fitting. Where we are living is not based on our goodness. What you're holding in your hands is going to be a representation of Jesus' blood. Why? Because it reminds us that he shed his blood for us. What does that mean? It means that he became a sacrifice so that we could be washed clean. Washed clean of what? Washed clean of our wrongdoing, really. And he did this so that we could come close to God. In your hand, you're going to hold a little piece of bread. That's a reminder that his body was broken. See, the Israelites stacked up 12 stones. Today, you're holding something in your hands to remind you. What is it to remind you of? Of him, of his love, of his goodness, of his assurance to you. Whatever season you're in, whatever health situation you're in, whatever frame of life you're in, whether it's hopeful, joyful, wherever you're at, in your hands is like one of those stones. And it's for us to remember Christ, that He's our foundation, that He's our cornerstone, that He's our forgiveness, that His Spirit is now here to bring a transformation in our minds, that He is interested in the condition of our soul. And even though we could be really focused on a place or a position, He's really focused on the condition of your heart, of your life, and of your mind. So we deliberately in January just want to take heaps of deep breaths. So I'm going to ask these guys maybe just to lead us through in a verse. And I just want you to just think about Him. Just take stock on Him. Thank Him for who He is, who you know Him to be. Let this be an opportunity for you to remember Him. And then we'll stand and we'll partake and we'll continue to worship. Holding this reminder of Him. You know what? Jesus isn't just something to remember, He's someone to know. Yes, He accomplished something on our behalf. He's not just someone to remember, He's someone to know. Our society is going to tell you to be more and try and achieve more. Religion will tell you you've got to do more to be better, but Jesus says it's all finished. Jesus says, every striving, everything you're trying to make yourself better, it's all finished by what we hold in our hands, which is something for us to remember, but it's also something for us to take on the inside, which means it's now a position we live from. In other words, the way we live all comes from what's happening inside of us. What's happening inside of you today? As we worship Him today, why don't you just take the freedom and the liberty just to get really close with Him? Maybe you want to talk with Him. Maybe you want to lift your hands and sing. Maybe you want to walk around the room and just talking out loud to Him. Maybe you want to journal. Maybe you want to sit in His presence and just say, I just want to know You more. But here's the beauty of Him. He can do that for every single person in the room all at the same time. Because He's someone to remember, something for us to look back on, but He's also a person for us to know. And today His word to you is, how is your thinking? Let me renew your thinking. Let me renew your mind. Let it be based in Him, not based in fear, not based in what if, not based in what will the doctors say, not based in, well, I'm not sure what's happening, but based on a foundation of who Christ is. Today, let Him have the final word and let's reset our minds in Him. Thank You, Jesus, today that we can hold in our hands a reminder of You, Your blood that washes and cleanses us, Your body that was broken for us. But today, won't You have the final word and still our minds so that we can have a mind like Isaiah where it says it's set in You, a basis set in You. We love You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, won't You do what only You can do in our lives.